Well, this certainly isn't news. College is both necessary and expensive. Both of those things are true for many young people today, and making college more accessible is the driving force behind so-called promise programs. They offer incentives like free or reduced tuition to students who meet certain benchmarks. Ben Cannon administers the Oregon Promise Program at the Oregon Higher Education Coordinating Commission and joins us this morning to talk about Oregon Promise. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, John.
Thanks for being here. So what is the essence of the Oregon Promise Program? What exactly is it intended to do?
Yeah, the Oregon Promise Program is designed, as you said, to make college more accessible for recent high school graduates in the state of Oregon or recent GED completers. And essentially, by completing a simple application at our website, OregonStudentAid.gov, and completing a FAFSA, that's the federal application for federal financial aid, students become eligible for free or near-free tuition at any Oregon community college for about 2 years. So we had nearly 7,000 students take advantage in the first year. Similar number started last year, and we're beginning the third year of the program this fall.
What are the sources of the funds? I mean, is this a reaction to President Obama's initiative to push community college training?
Not directly, but certainly has in common with that initiative a desire to see college become more accessible and affordable, and community colleges play an important role in that and certainly play an important role in preparing students for careers. The source of the funds for the Oregon Promise include the federal grants that students may be eligible for. So low-income students receive a Pell Grant from the federal government, and that goes a long way towards covering those tuition costs. And the state picks up the rest. And for students who aren't eligible for a Pell, the state takes on the entire share of their community college tuition, or nearly the entire share.
So my understanding is that this is not just automatically available to any student who graduates from an Oregon high school. There are requirements that a student has to meet to be eligible.
There are a few eligibility requirements. One of them is that they have graduated from an Oregon high school and are an Oregon resident. Another is that they have a 2.5 high school GPA, so it is limited to students who have a 2.5 GPA. They can be a GED completer, so that's another avenue by which students who may not have completed high school in a traditional setting but come through the GED program may also enroll. And they have to begin their community college studies within 6 months of completion. So this is not a program that, at least yet, is designed for students who have spent some time between high school completion and the start of community college.
So in the case of somebody who's just completed a GED, you know, you often hear stories of people in their 20s, 30s, or even older who decide to go back and get the GED. Would a person like that be eligible?
They would. In fact, the architects of this program were pretty clear that the program was designed for anyone who has just completed high school or its equivalent. And in Oregon, that equivalency is measured through the GED, and the program is available to them on the same terms that it is to other high school graduates.
We're talking with Ben Cannon this morning here on the Jefferson Exchange, and he administers the Oregon Promise Program for the Higher Education Coordinating Commission in the state of Oregon. Maybe you have a high school senior who's looking at attending higher education. You have some questions about whether your student might qualify for Oregon Promise. You can join the conversation this morning by calling us at 800-838-3760. We're happy to answer your email as well. jx@jeffnet.org is the email address. So, Ben, why is this program specifically targeted at community colleges? Are two-year degrees as employable as 4 years in this day and age?
Well, there are certainly some advantages to four-year degrees for many students, but there are also significant benefits and opportunities through the community college and the two-year or even one-year certificate programs that colleges like RCC and others around Oregon provide. You know, when the program was designed, the focus really was on sort of career pathways, on students who might not otherwise see college, any type of college, as an option. And it was on, you know, promoting the community college, and I think it has done so well. it's also a more cost-effective way of completing at least the first 2 years of a four-year degree. We'll see many Oregon Promise students transfer to a four-year university after 2 years at a community college, where the tuition cost, whether it's the student or the state that's picking that up, is somewhat lower than it is at a four-year university. I think the final point, I mean, we have 17 community colleges in Oregon versus 7 public universities. There are more opportunities for students to stay close to home or even live at home and continue to reduce their costs that way by attending a community college. So great pathways to career or great pathways to transfer to a four-year university via your community college.
Now, so you mentioned that there's a time limit for a student once they graduate from high school to take advantage of Oregon Promise. So let's say a student gets a Promise grant, but then they decide, nah, I don't think I'm going to go to school. I think I'm going to go on walkabout and see the world for a while before I settle back into career training. So that does that grant go away, or could they reapply?
That they would no longer be eligible if 6 months elapse between their high school or GED completion date and the start of community college. I should point out that students can enroll at halftime or more, so 6 credits or more, and receive a prorated grant that will continue to cover most, if not all, of their tuition costs. But again, they have to meet that 6 month eligibility window. Again, you know, the folks who started the program, I think, would have liked to see it available to everyone, including the kind of student you describe or the working adult who may be in their, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s, and wants to go back to college to improve their training for career. But the, you know, limitations on cost and size of the program really meant that they focused on the recent high school graduate.
Ben Cannon is our guest this morning. He administers the Oregon Promise Program at the Higher Education Coordinating Commission. So, Ben, I know that the Higher Education Coordinating Commission also oversees private career schools in Oregon. So can this be used at a for-profit college or a technical vocational school, or must it be one of the public community colleges?
No, it must be one of the 17 Oregon public community colleges. It's not currently available for attendance at other schools. I should note that the largest financial aid program that we administer that's funded by the state of Oregon is the Oregon Opportunity Grant, and that's a longstanding need-based program that has a similarly simple application process. Really, you automatically apply by completing that federal financial aid form. And the state's lowest income students receive that award to attend any community college, public university, or many of the state's private colleges and universities. It doesn't typically apply to a private career school, a certificate granting institution, but a degree granting institution that's private and not for profit in the state of Oregon, a student can apply that Oregon Opportunity Grant too. So that's a second and significant source of state funds for higher education. It's available not just to recent high school graduates, but to all students who qualify, regardless of their age or how long they've been out of high school.
The Oregon Promise Program is the subject this morning on The Exchange. You can join the conversation at 800-838-3760 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Let's take a call from Steve in Eugene. Good morning, Steve.
Howdy. I haven't been to a community college since the early 70s, but when I was there, it was split into basically two separate and at the time equal career paths, one going into industry with classes like automotive, building technology, welding, and so on, headed into industry, and one headed towards the academic industrial complex, i.e. the colleges and universities, and they were about equal. I've heard that at the college or community college I went to, Lane, a lot of the industrial classes are no longer existent. I was wondering, from your guess, what percentage of his graduates are actually on the career track for academia, and what percentage are on the career track for industry?
Well, thanks, Steve. Ben, do you have any numbers on that?
I don't have the percentages right in front of me, but your caller is well informed. It is the case that community colleges today continue to offer both tracks or programs in career and technical education that are designed, you know, directly for entry into business, into the trades, into a variety of professions, healthcare, the like, as well as associate's degrees in typically for transfer to four-year universities. And it is also the case that the majority of students of our completers are in the more general associates of arts or associates of science degrees that lend themselves reasonably well to transfer to a four-year university. There are jobs, to be clear, you know, there are students who earn one of those more generalized associate's degrees and move directly into business, into industry, into employment. The trend over time has been somewhat in favor of those transfer degrees, and the state, our commission, shares, I think, the caller's interest, if I understood his implications correctly, the caller's interest in ensuring that those career and technical fields are well supported and robust at the community college level, in part because of the industry demand for some of those types of degrees. And in part because of the good-paying jobs that result from them. They're more expensive to offer, and one of the reasons that colleges over time have tended to lean a little bit more in the direction of those generalized associate's degrees has been, you know, it's costly to keep the equipment, the labs, the facilities, and the teachers, instructors, training going on the career and technical side. But you know, I would really emphasize that all of our state's community colleges, Lane Community College, Rogue Community College, and the 15 others offer robust programs in industrial arts, in mechanics, in automotive, in welding, in healthcare professions or healthcare fields designed to get students directly into professions, nursing, and other allied health fields. And I would, you know, strongly encourage folks to take a look at the options that may be available to them in those fields and at those colleges.
Ben Cannon administers the Oregon Promise Program at the Higher Education Coordinating Commission. We're talking about Oregon Promise this morning. So, Ben, once a student starts in the Promise Program, they are the recipient of a grant, and then they attend a community college. How long do they have to complete their education?
So they are eligible for the grant for up to 90 credits of community college education, and that's about 2 years, depending on whether they come, you know, with some credit at the outset. But about 2 years of the community college, or about as much time as it takes to typically earn an associate's degree, whether that's for, you know, direct entry into career or transfer to a four-year university.
And so I assume that offers a little bit of flexibility, but once a student starts, if they have to drop out for, let's say, a family emergency or a health emergency or, for example, military service, what happens then?
Yeah, so there are some waivers, hardship waivers, and other allowances that we do make available. Students are meant to be continuously enrolled, so generally the expectation of is that a student remains continuously enrolled at least half-time attendance. But in one of those sort of hardship cases like you've described, I'd encourage the student to get in touch with our office and explore the possibilities that exist for a potential waiver to the continuous enrollment requirement.
And then what about students who are homeschooled? Are they eligible? Is there some kind of certification program there?
There is. There are ways that homeschooled students can certify their graduation and their GPA equivalent and qualify for the Promise as well.
And once a student starts, is there any limitation? As long as they're attending a school, there are no limitations on exactly what they study. They can change or decide what they're going to do once they enroll?
Yeah, absolutely. There are no limitations. They have to maintain satisfactory academic progress, which is just a sort of fancy way of maintaining, you know, decent grades, generally C or better averages at the college, and that's a requirement for financial aid generally in higher education. But in terms of what they're studying, the courses they take, we have no limitations. We certainly do encourage students to work closely with an advisor at the college to ensure that they are on a path towards a certificate or a degree or a transfer option that will ensure that this is a good investment, not only of the state's money, but of their time and likely their money as well. I think it's important to note, as successful as we think this program is at opening the door to community college for Oregon students, it doesn't cover the full cost of college. Students likely have fees that they have to pay. They have books, transportation. Many of them also have housing costs if they're living away from home. And those can be significant, and some of the Oregon Promise recipients are also borrowers. And it's important for any borrower and, frankly, any student to think seriously, plan carefully their path through college and keep it pointed towards an outcome that will make sense for them and for their careers.
Ben Cannon is the administrator of the Oregon Promise Program at the Higher Education Coordinating Commission. It's hard for me to say on a Monday morning. Talking about the Oregon Promise Program. Ben, thank you so much for being with us this morning on the Jefferson Exchange.
Yeah, thanks for having me.